Have I an object, Lord, below, which would divide my heart with thee, which would divert its even flow in answer to thy constancy? 46 in the appendix. Have I an object, Lord,
time, brethren, but I do have something that I trust is of the Lord. And start with a verse in Psalm 11, kind of in conjunction with what our brother gave in his address about building. Psalm 11, verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. Just like to speak on the question of foundations. Extremely important part of building is foundation work. Foundations, it's interesting, are not part of the building that are very visible, often almost completely invisible, but extremely important. If you're going to make a building, If you don't have good foundation, you may use good material in the building itself, but the building will not last. How important then to get the foundation right. As we were reading in Ezra, when they were relaying the foundation of the temple, it had been broken up when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple. The foundations were broken up. And so they had to be relaid. And when they were relayed, it caused real joy to those who were younger. And it caused weeping in those who were older, who had known the first house and its glory. Both emotions were proper in their place. But what I have learned to enjoy, brethren, in we come to the building of God in the New Testament. The foundation is the Lord Jesus himself. We read that verse in 1 Corinthians 3. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, that is Jesus Christ. How important to know where we stand, where we rest our souls. He is that rock. When he says in Matthew chapter 16, upon this rock I will build my church. He's not talking about Peter, we know. He's talking about his own glorious person, the Son of Man and the Son of the Living God. That's where we rest. And if you're not there, you're not on the foundation. There's not going to be any firmness to your life and testimony. But, you know, in the New Testament, ruin has come into the public testimony just like it did in the Old Testament. But there's one difference, and I'd like to read it in 2 Timothy chapter 2. That has been such a tremendous bulwark to my own life and faith. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse, we'll read from verse 19, but just to go before, he's been talking in verse 17 about two men who had taught false doctrine about the resurrection. And he says they overthrew the faith of some. But notice what it says in verse 19. This is what's been such a consolation to my own soul. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Isn't that a consolation, brethren? The ruin may be ever so great, but the foundation is there. It's never been destroyed. It's never been broken up. Thank God for that. Sometimes I say, maybe we have to dig down through the rubble of our own thoughts to get where the foundation actually is. Really get into the Word. Search the Scriptures. Find out where we do stand on issues of our life, both individually and collectively. The foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Two parts. One, God's side. In the present ruined condition of the public testimony. Who is the Lord's? Who isn't? That's for the Lord to determine. The Lord knows them that are his, and we can leave that with him. But there is a part of our own responsibility. What is that? If you name the name of the Lord, do not connect that name with iniquity in any form. moral, ecclesiastical, or doctrinal. Don't connect it with iniquity. Very important parts associated with the question of the foundation. I'd like to go back to Ephesians chapter 2 to show one other point in connection with the foundation. A little bit of a detail that perhaps can be helpful. Connection with the building. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So here we have that the foundation is called the foundation of the apostles and prophets, because God used the New Testament apostles and prophets to lay the foundation, the groundwork where the church was to be built. And so we have the New Testament scriptures, and upon that we are grounded. This is the foundation, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, the reference point in connection with this foundation. But it's interesting that it puts it as the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And I want to encourage the younger brothers and sisters too, and all of us, of the importance of getting an understanding of New Testament truth. Paul says to Timothy, maybe we should read it in, not to lose this place in Ephesians, in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words, verse 13, or have an outline of sound words. Do you have an outline of Scripture? I want to encourage you, young brothers, to read the Scriptures and get an understanding of New Testament truth. It will make you steady in times where everything is shaking as it is today. So important to have that. I have been very encouraged in Latin America, younger brothers that seem to have really gotten a hold of the truth of God as to the church. It just thrills me to see the way the Lord is using them, as they have found rock solid groundwork where to build. And I just want to say, young brothers, you don't have to apologize for anything that is written here, because it will stand firm at all times. This foundation of God standeth sure. And so it's called the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Luke, for example, I don't believe is called an apostle. He certainly was a prophet, because he gave us the book not only of Luke, but of Acts, which tells us a lot about church truth. And there were others, too, who were not apostles. Perhaps James and Jude, they were half-brothers of the Lord, it's been suggested. They were not apostles, and yet they were prophets. They gave us scriptures that are very important to understanding our times. So we need to have an understanding of these books. I don't say you have to understand every single detail. Have an outline. You know how it is when you're going to build a house. You get the plans out in front of you. And you know where the doors are going to go. You know where the windows are going to go. You have that outline in your mind as you start building. It's important. And so get an outline of Scripture. What is the book of Romans about? What does it deal with? How about 1 Corinthians? What does that deal with? When you have an outline, then you know where to go when there are questions on certain issues. So the Lord encourage you to get an outline. I must say, see younger brothers sometimes really getting serious in understanding the New Testament Scriptures. I thank God when I see that. They're going to be a help in times of need. Here it says in these verses we read in Ephesians 2, verse 21, whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. That's looking into the future. We're growing towards this point. But verse 22 is present, in whom also ye are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of God dwells in the house of God. Every true believer is a stone, a living stone in this spiritual house. And the Spirit of God dwells in us. And I want to stop to reflect on that a minute, because sometimes I wonder if we really realize properly the reason that the Spirit of God is here on earth now in the church of God. Says in chapter 16 of John's Gospel that he is here to guide us into all truth. You know, we need to cultivate, young people and older ones too, a sensitivity in our souls of the presence and power of the Spirit of God in us to guide us. I have to confess that oftentimes I have quenched the Spirit when he told me perhaps to open my mouth. Sometimes I've quenched the Spirit by talking too much too. That happens. And I probably am more guilty of that than the other. But I say, we need to be sensitive in our souls of his presence and power in our midst to guide us. When we sit down in the Lord's presence, we should sit down, you younger brothers, just as much as the older brothers, with the attitude, Lord, I know you're here in our midst, and you're here to guide us by your Holy Spirit, and to be sensitive as to how he may lead you and use you, maybe in praying, maybe in offering a word of praise to the Lord on Lord's Day morning, maybe in asking a question in a reading meeting. Sometimes questions are very helpful in opening up a subject. But whatever it is, to be have that sensitivity in our souls. I do believe, brethren, that there are many of us that come to our public meetings and sit down almost with the attitude, I have to say this because this was my attitude many years of my life, I'm not opening my mouth tonight. Doesn't matter what might happen, I'm going to just keep my mouth shut. Don't do that. Be in the Lord's presence in exercise of heart. How important that is to realize the body of Christ is a living organism here in this world. And I must say, I have so enjoyed being amongst our Latin brethren. Not that I don't enjoy being here too, I enjoy it. Same body, brethren. Same Spirit. But I get the feeling sometimes, especially on a Lord's Day morning, In a breaking of bread meeting, when it seems like we leave it up to two or three or four brothers to take all the part. Brethren, are we quenching the Spirit of God? He dwells in us, not just a certain quantity of brothers. He dwells in us all. When it comes to a question of prayer and praise, it's not a question of gift. It's a question of priesthood. And you are all priests. In the Old Testament, a person was a priest if he was born into Aaron's family. In the New Testament, you're a priest if you're born into the family of God. You're a priest. Do you exercise your priesthood? That's an important point. Spirit of God dwells in us, and he desires to use us. I must say, being amongst the Latin brethren, sometimes they go to the other extreme, brethren. They kind of stumble over each other and getting up on Lord's Day morning to praise the Lord. Sometimes two of them speak at the same time. And the brother that gets up on his feet to praise the Lord generally praises the Lord first, and then maybe a brother is giving out the hymn at the same time, has to wait till after and we sing the hymn. Well, they need instruction too as to the fact that the Spirit of God guides in an orderly way. But I wonder sometimes which is the lesser of the two evils, brethren, that or what we witness sometimes in our meetings up here. I just want to encourage us, brethren, God, by his Holy Spirit, dwells in the church. Not only in us individually, that's true, but in us collectively, and it should be evident. 1 Corinthians 12, we don't have time to go to it now because I want to leave time for others. But in 1 Corinthians 12, it's a question not so much of the gifts, but of the manifestation of the Spirit, which is shown in the activity of the gifts in the body of Christ. God dwells in us, brethren. Is it evident? The living God dwells in us by his Spirit. He's not limited by our thoughts, but may the Lord give us sensitivity and exercise in his presence. Lord, help us.